I would hope it's obvious that, as I mentioned at the beginning of Mass, that we hear God's word invite us to contemplate and to reflect upon how do we know or how do we approach the Good Shepherd. And today the readings kind of give us a couple different angles. And obviously the first reading from the book of Jeremiah offers some woes to shepherds of the past who have misled and scattered the flock or done harm to God's people. And unfortunately, I apologize on behalf of priests and the church for some of that that's happened in the last 25 years in our church in different ways. But it is God's word that still invites us to think about the shepherds who sometimes were not only those simple servants taking care of sheep, but on a bigger sense, they were sometimes kings and people of authority. Just to give you some background, that in the Old Testament, and I'm truly not an expert, but we know that there were at one time 12 tribes of Israel, kind of named after the sons of Jacob. And then when they started having, those tribes started having kings, and King David being one of them, that the tribes were split into two. Israel was split into two. So there was northern kingdom, southern kingdom. The northern kingdom he called Israel. And soon that area was dispersed and conquered by Assyrians. And so in a sense, they really kind of ceased to exist. The southern kingdom became known as Judah, which is kind of the part and the area in which Jesus really has connections, going back also to King David. But yet it was Judah who also, and Jerusalem, that were conquered by the Babylonians, so they spent time in captivity. They also endured great suffering, but they also struggled to understand and to adhere to God's covenant. And so obviously prophets were sent to try to help them remember God's covenant and to live in a certain way and to honor the one God, that their lives would be blessed. And yet we know that even during that time, some of the kings and some of the priests didn't always fulfill their duties. And thus today we hear Jeremiah offering woes on behalf of the Lord. Woe to those who kind of misuse their authority and scatter the flock and fail to take care of their people. That is contrasted today by the gospel. Huh? The Lord, and even Psalm 23, the Lord is my shepherd. There is nothing I shall want. Psalm 23 is probably one of the most renowned psalms out of the 150. It's ironic that we not only call Jesus the Good Shepherd, but as we reflect even more deeply in that psalm to say that when the Lord is my shepherd, there's nothing more I should want. At times it's even chosen for funerals, and yet when people come before God on that day, they do have needs. There's grief, there's a sense of emptiness or loss, there's confusion, there's a certain kind of suffering and void. And yet it is the Lord who offers the gift of God's compassion. Huh? I want to share with you a story, though, that might help us think about the gospel. So we know that Jesus sent his apostles out last week, and it says they return, they gather back with him, and they report all that they had done. In a sense, they were sharing with him that with God's power and the Spirit, they were really able to accomplish and do marvelous works. Very similar to so many people who are part of this parish community or school who volunteer and help, whether it's Ann's Attic or some who assisted with the funeral this last week. And so many capacities, I'm very grateful. But to think of how it does work and how it brings meaning and goodness to many others. But Jesus invited them to come away and to rest. And yet they were, even as they tried to go away, they couldn't do that. And so then he again offered them another avenue. He said, let's go off in a boat to a deserted place even farther away. And it's amazing that even without modern transportation, they beat them there. And they were waiting for the apostles and Jesus. And still Jesus responded, his heart was moved with pity for them. So the story I want to tell you is this. So it's about two elderly men who had been friends for many decades. They had known their families, had many connections over the years. They shared many activities and adventures. Their activities, though, were limited as they got older, and they would meet weekly to play cards together. One day, one of them, as they were playing cards, looked at the other and said, "Now, don't get mad at me, but I know we've been friends for many years, but I can't remember your name. And I thought, but I just can't recall it. Please tell me what your name is." And the other friend kind of paused and stared for a moment, and after a silent time, he finally said, "How soon do you need to know?" My hope is that we would never forget who the Good Shepherd is, huh? Because the Good Shepherd is one who is always willing to not only know us and call us to himself, but also to offer this mysterious power of God's compassion, mercy, and love. And Jesus models that in the gospel so well. In Matthew and in Mark especially, there are several times where Jesus gives invitations, "Come to me." In Matthew, it's, "Come to me, all you who are weary and find life burdensome, and I will give you life. I will give you refreshment." And think of Jesus saying, "Come away to a deserted place and rest a while." The gospel also might invite us to think that as Jesus called his disciples or apostles to kind of find a balance as they offered spiritual care or lived the works of corporal spiritual mercy, that they also needed to have a balance between work and leisure or ministry and leisure. And I would say today that Jesus would also challenge us and say we also need to take a break from technology. So this next week, I'm going to take a break, go on a little vacation, and I confess that I sometimes won't look at my cell phone for 6 hours. It's very freeing. But to think that once in a while, maybe even during the day, or if we find ourselves kind of like saying we're oppressed by technology, to say, see if you can give yourself 1 hour of freedom, and to know that it will bring you great peace, it will bring you a sense of grounding, of saying God is still with you and in control of your life, and nothing else can take that away from you. So just to be aware of that. But to realize, even as St. Paul says, that it's in Christ that we've been redeemed, and it is in him that we also gain that pathway or avenue towards eternal life in his kingdom. And we must never forget that. Lastly, I want to say this. As we think about the Good Shepherd, and even in John's Gospel, there's also the other avenue. In John, he articulates, you know, the Good Shepherd, "As the Father knows me, so I know the Father, and so I know my sheep." And so that ongoing gift of relationship continues, especially with the Good Shepherd, because he calls us into life, and he prepares us for eternal life as long as we follow him and don't get lost. I want to end with a little story that also articulates the last point. In ancient England, there was a dinner party, and many guests used to not only gather, but they also, as we sometimes know, when there's major functions, there might be some sort of entertainment. And so at this dinner party, there was a professional actor called in, and he was going to give some presentation. And ironically, he gave this fabulous rendition of Psalm 23, "The Lord is my shepherd." So he articulated this, interpreted it, and did that. And everybody stood up and gave a wonderful applause. And on that night, there was also an opportunity to honor someone for their service. And it was a more humble and yet a prayerful and gifted woman. They sometimes referred to her as Auntie or Auntie. They invited her to come forward, and knowing that she also had struggles, she was deaf herself. And so she really kind of missed part of this entertainment. So she got up and she also performed or articulated the psalm and shared it with her interpretation. When she was finished, there wasn't a dry eye in the room. And later that night, this woman and then this actor met, and the actor said, "Your rendition was fabulous, but I'm wondering why all of us were so moved by yours." And the actor began to contemplate, and he said, "I think I know why." He said, "I know the psalm but Auntie knows the shepherd. And so that means as we pray, and every time we come to celebrate the Eucharist, that Jesus also, as the good shepherd, wants to nourish us, body and soul, that he alone is the one that we ought to know and strive and hunger for, because he truly does give us this sustenance, this mystery of God's grace that is powerful, beyond description. And most of all, he then guides us towards eternal life and the kingdom that brings us joy and peace and God's justice. May we continue to seek the Good Shepherd and be willing to listen to him and sometimes not let distractions dissuade us.